Just a few rules before we begin. Turn off all cell phones and pagers. Keep your table talk to a minimum. And now welcome your first comedians. It's Corey and Joel.
One of their older albums, Under the Western Freeway. They just broke up. That was their news.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, so if you're getting into this, this is a good tune, too. This is from, I don't know, 98 or something? 97?
That old, really?
This is probably that old, yeah. Saw them many times in concert, too. So. Kind of a shame that they're breaking up, but anyway, it's Granddaddy.
Speaking of breakups,
that was called AM-180. What's are we breaking up?
I watched the movie The Breakup.
Oh, The Breakup with the Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
And?
Well, moderately funny.
Okay.
But here's my biggest problem with this movie. This is the kind of thing that just infuriates me. Makes me mad. There's a nude scene, okay? Jennifer Aniston.
She's naked but yeah. Not okay, we'll go ahead.
The whole thing is like she breaks up with him, but then just she wanted to really just get him to behave better, so she kind of like keeps pulling these stunts and bringing guys over.
The gimmick is, if I can explain it from the trailer, is they break up, but they still share the condo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they really don't want to break up, but they're just trying to escalate wars with each other. Anyway, so her boss tells her to get a Telly Savalas wax, you know, and get the whole landing strip cleaned off. And then she, like, walks in front of him to try and entice him, to make him jealous or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So you see her walk out of the shower, and you see her ass.
Okay.
And you're like, okay, cool. And she's walking naked through the kitchen, but, you know, the angles aren't quite right. You can see anything. Then she turns around and walks, and you finally get this good shot of her ass, and she walks out of focus in about 5 seconds. And you see her walking out of focus, but you see the back of Vaughn's head in focus. What kind of crap is that?
Oh.
Why not focus on her ass for like a good 10 seconds?
So no box, no...
No, but at least I could have gotten an Aniston ass shot that was clear. Unbelievable, the crap they pull. God, is Jon Favreau fat.
Jon Favreau got real fat, but you know, he made that Elf and made about $1 billion, I think, from that.
Yeah.
After that
Well,
Elf movie.
He was in Daredevil and like he had to get fat for the part. He was Daredevil's fat friend.
Yeah, but that was like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, but he's never gotten it off.
Okay.
Favreau used to be kind of skinny, and he was
he had a big giant head.
Yeah, he played like Rocky Marciano though, so he was all in boxing shape at one point. But now looks like me, big fat guy.
And
so
welcome into the show. Some people probably listening.
Actually, Favreau looks fatter than me because it doesn't wear well on him.
But he's one of those guys that's fat, but he's going to wear real tight shirts so you can see how big his arms are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
He's trying to straddle fat and built. He's working on the thin line between fat and built.
Exactly.
And that's ugly.
I know where that line is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying
Joey Lauren Adams is in that movie, too, from Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
With the really high annoying voice.
Uh-huh.
Boy, she's starting to hit the wall.
Yeah, she's real ugly. I saw her in some picture on the web.
She was at
the opening of that,
cute.
Or the opening of some movie. Yeah, she looked bad.
But the cracks are starting to show.
Yeah, it's all over.
Aniston's Greek. She's got that like good Greek genetics, then she'll look good for a while.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston looks good, but she's got $1 billion and she can stay.
She's got a team, a staff.
Yeah, they got a full time staff.
Yeah, she's got this like gay Spaniard who comes in and waxes her asshole. You
she's
know?
Got a whole grounds crew to just take care
crew.
Of Aniston.
They're waxing and cleaning.
Changing the oil, rotating the tires.
Oh, my
on that
God,
one.
We got an eyebrow hair out of place.
Exactly.
They got a queer with tweezers standing by at any second.
Because I saw this thing. What website was it? I think it was on, God, it sounds gay, but I think it was on People Magazine Online.
Sure.
Is that gay?
Yeah. Oh,
it was
you
a gay.
You want to call it by its name? That's strictly for fans.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was very gay.
Killed my drive.
I apologize. Yeah. No, but I was on there, and they had, like, through the years, and it was, like, a progression of women's pictures You know, from like whenever to, you know, when they were, before they were famous to now when they're famous. Yeah. So they had like Mandy Moore and Christina Aguilera and all these.
Sure.
And Jennifer Aniston looks better now than she did in like 1989 when she was on the Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yeah.
She was the, what's the name of the, what was the name of the chick?
Drew Barrymore looks better now than she used
to. Who was the chick that was in Ferris Bueller? Who was the sister? Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
She was Jennifer Grey on the TV show. Do you know what I mean? She played the Jennifer Grey on the Ferris Bueller,
right.
On the Ferris Bueller TV show. Because she kind of had that schnoz
and stuff. God, I forgot there was a Ferris Bueller
TV there was, and she was the sister.
Is that Charlie Schlatter was in that?
I think Charlie Schlatter was the guy who played Ferris.
I think that came out the same season as Parker Lewis Can't
which
Lose.
Which was the same fucking
which was like
thing.
1990, and people were like, oh, what a knockoff Parker Lewis was. But it was much better than the Ferris Bueller show and lasted for a long.
The actual Ferris Bueller show with Jennifer Aniston.
Which was like
Aniston.
4 years after
didn't
the movie.
Didn't last long, yeah.
Oh, God.
But she looks better now than she did then. Yeah. That's what a lot of people say. So there you go. And you saw her naked, but not
but not enough. You're like...
You want to see more.
Why have a this perfect... And her ass is great.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the hotter women in the world.
Sure.
And it's like a great ass. And I got to look at Vince Vaughn's head. Like, that's what's in focus. And I'm like, hey, Citizen Kane proved you can have two objects in focus. Even in deep focus, you know, it's an old trick.
How does Vince Vaughn's head look like compared to a few years ago? Oh, much better? Is it
much larger? Yeah. I interviewed Vince Vaughn, and he's really a big dude.
Yeah, he's a tall guy. A lot of people don't realize how tall
massive.
Vince Vaughn is.
He's kind of a big dude.
Okay. So the breakup, a little bonus. I didn't even know that was coming. That was a quick movie review.
It's a sneaky nude scene, too. You know, they broke into it. And well, he was on, Vince Vaughn was on Leno, and he was talking about the nude scene, and Leno goes, so, was that the first time you saw her naked?
Hello, well, first of all, if anyone, I'm the default
Leno. You do
Leno.
The Leno, whatever.
Yeah, Vince, I heard you on the, you did this movie with Jennifer Aniston. Was he naked in the movie? Yeah, what'd you see there, Vince? Yeah.
Vince was like, I like how you're coming with that. I like you're trying to sneak up on me. But he wouldn't, he was being all coy and wouldn't say.
Ah, come on, Vince. Yeah.
But anyway, he's a big Chicago guy, movies in Chicago, so fuck that.
Good for him.
Cubs right. fans.
Cubs fans.
I was just in Chicago this weekend, and I just have to say, fuck you, Cubs fans. Thank you. That's all I had to say.
Really. An unprovoked shot over the bow of Cubs fans.
Just Cubs fans are annoying as
Cubs
hell.
Cubs Nation, just taking it right between the eyes.
Yeah, I was in the city for like 36 hours, and I was sick of Cubs fans. You know, I was just over the weekend. Oh.
All right.
Anyway,
we spent the last 2 hours watching this Last Comic Standing on the DVR.
Oh, good God.
Before we started the show, because I had watched it last night. It was on last night. Mm-hmm. And, of course, being comics, we're going to have some opinions on this.
Sure.
And we've talked about this in the past with like, when we had our buddy J. Chris Newberg when he was on our show. And I forget the number that. We should figure out what that is.
He was on the anniversary show.
He was on the anniversary show, which was recently. That was show 61.
And then, like, last year, 62. He was on the show just
and
as
he was
a regular
just
guest.
As a regular guest, he was in studio. And he talked about how he was on the show and didn't get picked. Well, this year, he was on the show. And after last night, he actually got picked to move on.
Yeah.
So we're very proud of J. Chris Newberg doing well, veteran of our show.
Yeah, if you saw like season two, he was in an audition, but you only saw him standing in the back of the line, like the guy who didn't get picked.
That's one of the things we like to do because we know a lot of comedians is we'll just hit the pause button when they're showing the big comics
there.
That are on stage. And we go, oh, I know that guy. I worked with him and I worked with him because most of the people don't get featured at all. But Chris got on the show and he got not on the show, but on the next round of the show.
Right.
Because we actually have the spoilers on who actually got on the show. We'll
on
talk
this
about
year,
that.
There's like four guys that I've hung out and drank with.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys, guys that have done my show at Club Bart have been on there. And
guys, so, you know, hey. Yeah. So we got to talk about it.
We got to talk about it.
Because less than two of the stars of our anniversary show.
Yeah, two people who we featured. I think we had six guys on that anniversary show six comics we had on or eight comics, something like that. Two of them were actually on Last Comic Standing on NBC last night in prime time.
Two
and that's pretty
of the
good.
Stars of our
so
anniversary
our show,
show,
which people dump on, we're doing a little podcasting thing and we're a little...
hey, nobody likes onions. You ever had one comic who's been on television on your fucking program?
TV. Yeah.
No, I'm serious about this. We got a real show. We bring real talent on here.
Right.
Guys who are doing television, who are... anyway.
All right, but the point was Newberg got on.
Let's give ourselves a round
of applause. Chris, they didn't really make him look... They didn't go out of their way to make him look good. The clips that they used of his jokes weren't very good. Then you know, when they played his actual when they showed him playing the guitar, because Chris plays the guitar and tells jokes and sings.
They didn't have his guitar like in the mix,
so you couldn't even hear the guitar. It was retarded. I'm sure he's pissed about that. He came off fine, but it wasn't like look how funny that guy was. It was
Chris plays the same two chords every song. But I mean, it's not like you're missing anything with that music.
No, but it's part of the whole. It's part of the whole presentation, and it does make you know.
He uses the guitar as like. An accessory. It's not like it's not really about the song. They're like
he's not a song and dance guy. He's a joke.
He does a couple songs, but the songs are usually the guitar is kind of a setup for a joke,
right? And it works for him.
Yeah,
and
Martin Mull used to do that.
Yeah,
people bag on guitar acts, but they've been around forever.
Sure, but anyway, so Chris was on there. Chris did okay. Chris got on the show. Everything's good, right? You think so? And then they get to the Chicago. He was in Tempe doing it. Why? I have no friggin' idea, because he's from Detroit.
He lives in L.A.
At least part-time, anyway. More full-time than part-time, I think.
He's back here sometimes.
And then they go to Chicago, and of course, speaking of guys from L.A., Jimmy Pardo, who's originally from Chicago, was at the Chicago auditions in Zanies. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know this, and I just because Jimmy was on our anniversary show, too, so go and listen to that, and because he was in town during Mark Ridley's. I've opened for him many times. I know Jimmy a little bit.
And hilarious.
Hilarious guy. I mean, one of, in my opinion, and I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of headlining
comics.
Anniversary
shows?
61 and 62. So go get the Jimmy Pardo show, 61. Jimmy was on our show. They put him on there, and they showed his audition joke, which was something about a Jason Priestley reference.
Yeah.
And they kind of dumped on him, but then they said, okay, you can come back.
Right.
Because those guys, Bob Reed and Ross Mark.
Let's talk about those assholes.
You want to talk about them for a minute before we get into
Okay,
Jimmy?
Well, these two guys are producers on The Tonight Show.
Well, they're talent coordinators, I think would be their official thing.
They're talent coordinators on The Tonight
Show. They choose the comedians who get picked to perform on The Tonight Show.
So Jimmy Pardo's been on The Tonight Show.
Been on there.
More than once.
I believe more than once. At least once, though.
Yeah. So it's not like they don't know who Jimmy Pardo is.
Yeah, and they always play like they don't know who these guys are. And like Bill DeWire was on there.
Right.
Like,
I'm sure, has been on The Tonight Show.
He's been on 8 billion cable TV shows, Bill DeWire. Yeah, and
if there's a show about like asking people about, you know, Fernando Valenzuela, you know what I mean? It's like he's on all those like Fox Sports Night shows and like Bill DeWire. He's on I Love Toys.
Yeah.
And I Love the 80s.
You remember Lick-A-Maid? And then it's Bill Dwyer.
Lick-A-Maid, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Now, Bill's a cool guy.
Bill is a good guy.
Bill and Chris Newberg were working together one week, and we like hung out.
Yeah, Bill came to the open mic we do, Club Barton, Ferndale.
I like Bill. Yeah. He's a nice guy, but he's not unknown to talent
bookers.
Right,
he's hardly a guy that you wouldn't know.
But they act like, now what's your story, Bill Dwyer? Where have you been?
And they're asking, like, you quit comedy for a while. What was going on?
I was hosting BattleBots on Comedy Central. You know, it's like, how did you quit comedy?
He hosted that Dodgeball show. He did a lot of
he hosted the Dodgeball show. Oh, God.
So, yeah, but these guys, but you hate Bob Reed, I think, is the gay guy on
Bob Reed is real
queerish.
I'm not
talking high school. He seems gay, but I believe he's out and gay. And then Ross Mark is just a guy who, like, never laughs.
Oh.
He's like, yeah, I like that joke. Yeah, you can come on.
Are the leading asshole in the state.
No, he comes out with this farbison upon him, this sourpuss.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, look, I get you. If I had to sit there for 12 hours and listen to comedy, I'd be a little unpleasant.
Yeah, and I do.
But the guy, it's like, does he think people are charmed by this act?
I don't know.
Just a guy who sits there stone-faced and goes, get the hell off the stage.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
Sure.
And it's not. You're not like Simon Cowell.
He's not Simon Cowell.
And I think they think they are. I think the producers are trying to be famous. They're
There was a lot more of them on this audition show than had been on previous audition shows, certainly.
Yeah.
And then the host, they had Anthony Clark, who I guess replaced Jay Moore.
Right.
Rumor is that they just NBC decided to produce the show themselves.
What a loss that
and
was.
But I mean, I'm sure he still gets paid because he created it, but I don't think he's actively.
They didn't want his participation.
And that's a good move.
I mean, what are they losing, really?
Anthony Clark might make me laugh once this year. I'll give him that. He might. He might.
Mm.
Come on.
No,
he
dear.
Might.
No, dear.
But we know Jay didn't for 2 seasons. Yeah. 3 seasons. Jay didn't make us laugh.
I kind of like Jay Moore as an actor.
He's a decent actor.
Action was a good show he was on, but he just didn't add anything to that show.
So
he'll talk about how great he was.
Oh yeah,
Jay Moore's all about claiming how the producers are always screwing him.
Oh yeah,
like Lorne Michaels was always ruining his brilliant comedy on SNL and the Last Comic Standing guys. Now, granted, they did kill the Golden Goose because that show was like a huge summertime hit.
Right,
the first 2 years.
Yeah,
and then at the end of the second one, where John Heffron won.
Well, who's a big fan of our show.
Huge fan of our show. Have we told that story before?
I think we've told the story a billion times, but it's certainly appropriate
great
here.
Story.
Go ahead.
Well,
should I tell it? Because maybe I heard it more firsthand. Somebody we know, quote unquote.
Oh, we both heard it from the same guy.
Yeah, but he came up to us and he goes, yeah, you know who's a big fan of the Corey and Joel radio show? We're like, who? And you're like, John Heffron. Yeah, he said, fuck Corey and Joel to me. I saw him recently in L.A., and he goes, fuck Corey and Joel.
Yeah, they were sitting eating a sandwich, and he said, like, they
like
were just...
out of the blue, he goes, fuck
there was
Corey
a lull in the conversation, and Heffron just instead of went, fuck Corey and Joel. And you know what? You're right.
All right.
And you know what?
Come on, John.
I'm going to continue heckling you. I don't care how many millions of dollars you put in the bank from your bad act.
Well, I think if I remember what I said was that he was in town. He did a guest spot at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. And I was either working there that weekend or just hanging out watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched his quote-unquote new act. Because what happened was he was on Last Comic Standing 2. And then he had to go do 3. And he burned up all of his set. He couldn't repeat his jokes.
Yeah.
So he had whatever his set was, probably an hour or something. And he burned it all. He had done it all on television.
Right.
Like everything that you could do on TV. And so he came up with his new act. So he debuted that in a 5 or 7 minute spot. And it was dreadful. It was just all mm-hmm. Let me tell you how men and women are different. When you get married to a woman, she, then she starts to fart. It was literally jokes like that. It was just hack shit.
Boys have a pee-pee. Women have a hoo-hoo.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. I mean, it was literally a lot of just marriage jokes and men and women are different. And it's fine and people were laughing. But I came on the show and went God, it was so lame. I think I said something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I had actually seen it.
Wow.
Yeah, did you hear that?
I think God's mad at us for making fun of Heffron. There's thunder cracking outside.
So I went on the show, and he must have heard that one, because then he told our buddy how fuck Corey and Joel and all that stuff.
Well, we went off on him, because John Heffron's act is just hacky. I can't help it. Now, when Chris Newberg started in comedy, Joel and I hated him. We hated him with all our hearts. And probably because Chris was pretty confident in his abilities, and he's done really well for himself.
He moved up very quickly in the ranks. So actually, I mean, me and Chris started, I think, within a month or two of each other of doing comedy.
Yeah.
And we were both sort of moving up
the ranks.
I
hated both of you.
Very quickly. Yeah. I know you hated both of us. And we were sort of the two kind of young guns in Detroit, and that's completely over now. We're not the young guns, but, we're both successful, and I'm really not as successful as him, but that's okay.
Well, he's on TV.
He's on TV, and I'm on the show.
But now Chris is a good buddy of ours.
Yeah, Chris is a good guy, and I like him. I actually like him personally.
Yes.
And his act has gotten better over the years, too. So we wish Chris a lot of luck with that in the future.
But,
but we never finished the Pardo story. Can we finish that?
Oh, God, yeah.
What were we saying? So anyway, Jimmy was on. He did a joke. They made the joke not look good. Okay. Then they get a little interview thing with him. We're talking about, I've been around for this long, and I feel very confident that I'll get on. Jimmy does a lot of that on his show where he acts he does a lot of this sort of self-deprecating kind of stuff about how big he is. He's really joking. He's a very nice, sincere guy if you talk to him. But he kind of came off as a jerk on the show. And then they focused in as he didn't get picked to move on.
Mm-hmm.
They always profile one guy who doesn't get pushed forward.
Yeah.
The chick in L.A., I wrote this down, Caitlin Colombo, they featured her, didn't pick her to move on. Well, then Jimmy Wiggins in Tempe. Jimmy is another guy I know who was on last year. He was an old guy. They profiled him. He didn't come back.
Right.
And then they just did that to Jimmy. They just fucked him right there, and they made him look like he was going to cry. Well, they picked guys like John Roy, who's not horrible, but, they pick three guys, and they leave the guy that's been on The Tonight Show and all this stuff.
I almost think there's no margin to, if you are a guy who's already at Jimmy's level of achievement, to go on that show.
Yeah, he's been on all these shows. He was on Surreal Life recently.
He had his own game show.
He had his own game show.
And Funny Money.
Maybe that's better to not get picked or something. But, everyone, you don't go on if you don't want to get on.
Right, but there's always...
So he must have wanted to get on.
But there's always a couple guys that go out and do those auditions that you go, why is he doing this?
Because
you know he's already on television. Yeah. Ultimately, the thing about Last Comic Standing is... Whether or not John Heffron didn't get a show out of it.
Well,
right?
Not yet, but he's probably
developed
some
development
something.
Deal, but he already had pilots.
Well, whatever.
The best thing for him was that for about 3 months after the show aired, he was really hot and could play theaters.
Well, yeah, and he made a lot of money. He said that on the show in the beginning. They profiled him a little bit.
Yeah. And that's what the value of winning that show is.
Well, but I mean, the thing is, I think some people look at it one way. They look at it, if you get on the show, if you're a guy that's on the road, you figure, if I get on the show, that's what happened to Alonzo Bowden. He's a guy, he's on the road. Okay. He was on the road because he needed to be on the road. Like when I met Alonzo years ago.
Sure.
He was on the road because he needed to be on the road. He needed to make money. He did have scripts. He had sitcoms in development.
Now he's in Scary Movie 4.
Boy, he had some little acting roles before that. But what happens is then you get on the show. Then when you have to go back on the road, you can...
Usually a bouncer.
You can play better clubs. Yeah, he usually play bouncers or security
guards.
You play better clubs for more money, and that's a great thing. So to a road comic, it's a great thing.
Sure.
If to get your own show, it hasn't really worked out for people. Where's the Dat Fan sitcom?
Right.
Yeah, where's that at?
Now, Dat Fan won the first one, right? Yeah.
Notice conspicuously not profiled in this
season 4. No,
because
he's not
in
the business anymore. He's out of show business. He's doing nails somewhere. And,
did I tell you Dat Fan's
Coloma?
He's going to be here in a half hour. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he ordered some Chinese.
Oh.
He's bringing it right over. All right.
Wah, wah, wah.
I apologize for that.
That's okay.
There you go. Yeah, why do the sound effect?
Well,
because
I just remembered
you actually
I
have it in
effect.
Front of you.
I just remembered I had it. No, but Dat Fan's horrible.
He was horrible, but again, once you let the audience...
Oh, Dat Fan, I'm not funny at all.
Once you let the audience start picking people, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And the audience picked people, and they picked that horrible chink. And,
excuse me. That is so rude. He's a gook. Don't call him a chink. He's a VC.
He's Vietnamese, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Still not funny, no matter what you... No matter what you are.
Yes, sir.
Right, turn your phone off, dickhead. I told you.
I
goddamn... No. Like, how does it ring if he had it off?
Well, I thought it was... This is a new phone. I haven't all figured it out yet. There it is. It's off.
Now it's off?
Yeah.
That loud beep means it's off?
It's off. You got to beep it to get it to silent. That's the first time my phone's gone off in like forever.
No, but it was just funny because I said turn off, and then we did the Rob intro, which was our comedy intro. In case you didn't know what that was, folks, that was Rob doing his sort of mock comedy club.
And that's what you'll hear at comedy clubs all across the country.
And here's your headliner for the evening, Dat Fan, everybody.
Oh, hey, Siggy, I'm a Dat Fan.
I have a Maya CD and lobby after show.
God, I hate it.
You come and get autographed.
And you could see there were some awful race acts that were doing...
oh, my God. You want to talk about some of the acts?
There was an Indian girl on Last Comic Standing that was, like, doing an Indian bit.
There was an Indian girl on the show. They had...
Dots, not feathers.
Dots, not feathers.
Yeah.
And they had the Puerto Rican pimp, who was a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I kind of loved him.
You liked the Puerto Rican pimp.
Yeah.
And Skippy, Mark Price from Family Ties was on.
Another guy I've met.
Another guy we've met. He came and did our Club Bart show once.
It was legendary. Mark Price came in and did Bart's. They were trying to bring headliners.
They were trying to bring in like a big act that would draw people to the club instead of the regular open mic. That we do. I wasn't even running the open mic at the time that we did.
I don't think you were even
I think
around?
PJ. No, PJ was running the open mic. No, I was there. It was still PJ's show.
And they were like... Oh, let's bring in Skippy from Family Ties.
Yeah, because they looked on a list. Apparently Todd, the guy who books that or used to run it, looked on a list and said, I can get this guy for this much money. It was like some agent's list. And he saw that he'd get Mark Price Skippy from Family Ties.
Yeah. But all I'll say about him is all I remember is that he billed like 4 cheeseburgers to his room in 7 hours.
No, but I believe...
It's all I know about
Skippy. They paid for his hotel room. They put him up at a nice hotel, maybe the Marriott in Troy, I'm trying to remember what it was. And I think he was there for less than 12 hours.
Yeah.
Ordered 4 cheeseburgers and 2 porno movies on the hotel bill.
Well,
so
God bless him.
Way to go, Skippy.
Hey, we're not telling tales out of school, are we?
No.
No, we're not going to get in trouble for this one.
Not at all.
I doubt Mark Price has internet. Anyway. But yeah, I've met Mark Price, and he was perfectly pleasant and nice when I met him.
You want to talk about Gabriel Iglesias, the big fat Latino guy?
For God's
sakes. Do you want to talk about that guy?
Ay, papi.
Well, what was... If there was a Latino on Last Comic Standing...
If Ralphie May was a Latino, he'd be this fat bastard in a Hawaiian shirt.
Corey and I have a long-standing policy of saying that Latino comics are all doing the same thing.
Well, it's a policy of the truth.
And you could say the same thing, that all fat comics are doing the same act?
No.
Yeah, you can say that because it's absolutely true.
Not to the
not all of
Latinos
them, but there is a fat hack act that
fat
comics
just
do.
Hey,
and Gabriel Iglesias managed to merge both of them into one stinking awful act on
in
that show.
8-layer burrito of suck. God, yeah, you're right. They'll pick any sort of body type and or issues, and there's an act for it.
There's an act for it. Yeah,
right.
If you're the Jewish guy, you got an actor.
Yeah, because the CP guy got on the show.
It was a CP guy. The CP guy's name, and he actually moved forward, was...
Johnny Blue Jeans.
It was Josh Blue. That was the name of the CP guy. Which is ironic because in the Miami auditions, the callback show, Michael Aronin was there standing there. Like, he had made it. They didn't show any of him.
Yeah.
But Michael was a CP comic that was on Howard Stern.
Right.
And our friend Amy Phillips was at that audition.
She
does not have CP, but Amy was on the anniversary show.
Now what they do in Last
Comic
Standing.
Talk about Hot Blondes, yeah.
Speaking of CP and fat spics. What they do on, I'm sorry, that's so rude, beaner. That's the appropriate term. Fat beaners, like Gabriel Iglesias, Carlos Mencia, bastards. What they do on this show, though, and we talk about reality TV on this show too much, but if you're not in America and you don't see this show, then you're fucked. But they stunt cast.
Yeah.
They pick people that look like something or a type.
Well, here's the thing. If you were to go to a comedy club and look at like their list of upcoming comics.
Sure.
You would mostly see old white guys in their 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
85% of the guys.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You know, maybe 70-80% of the guys.
Sure.
You got 15% black guys.
Mm-hmm.
And those black guys are going to be, you know, whatever, same age range, but black guys. You got white guys, black guys.
25 to 40.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got 75% white guys, 15% black guys.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves another 10% that'll be women.
Yeah.
Or
probably less than 10.
Probably less than 10, but the 10% would comprise other, which would be women, Mexicans, Asian guys, puppet acts, guitar acts.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Jugglers, you know, hypnotists.
Sure.
Like, all that kind of stuff would be miscellaneous.
The Puerto Rican pimp.
So when you do a thing like Last Comic Standing, if you're going to pick, like, whatever, 10 guys to go live together in a house, you're not going to pick, you know, 8 white guys, a black guy.
Sure.
And, you know, Puerto Rican. I mean, you would if you were going to go by who actually are working comedians. But if you're not going to do that, then you have to only pick one white guy.
Right.
Therefore, leaving you with a Chinese guy, a Puerto Rican, a woman, a guitar act, a flame eater,
it's
that stuff.
It's so true. If you come out to the pizzeria after a gig, it looks like a U of M tailgate.
Yeah, it's a lot of
white guys.
You go to open mic, it's 20 fat white guys who nobody cares about, and then some big fat black woman goes on and talks about what it's like to be a big woman, and people go crazy.
And good for them, but...
Yeah. So whenever you try to, if you were to just be a representative sample of who's a working comedian, it wouldn't look like the cast of Last Comic Standing.
But give me a list of the greatest comedians of all time, and it's straight males between 25 and 45.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it is. When I said white guys, I meant straight white guys with no gimmicks.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by that.
Or even...
Joke tellers.
Or regular black guys.
Or regular black guys
who aren't doing a real ridiculous shtick.
Yeah, black guys who are doing stand-up, not guys who are singing songs you know, hypnotizing people, doing magic, whatever.
But, I mean, if you listed the greatest comics in the world, they'd be those guys.
It would be a list. There would not be an Indian guy on the funniest people who have ever lived. That would not exist. There would not be an American Indian on, you know, the
not
greatest comedians of all time. It would not happen. So when you do something like Last Comic Standing, it is works against you to be a regular white guy.
Yeah, the 5'2" girl with the hair lip. Not making the top 10 greatest comics of all time in the history.
No, that was what was her name? Nikki Payne. With the
she was great.
I can't even do it. It was very disturbing.
She had such a lisp.
And you looked at me during Nikki Payne, and you were like, "Would you bang her?"
Sure.
And I gotta say no based on that. Am I right about that? Am I crazy?
I kind of liked it. In fact, I was breaking it down.
Too much booty in the pants.
Is that what you want?
Why did you a little bit too little thick?
You don't have. That's because that's really what...
Oh, she had some poopy in the pants.
Put a bag on her head. That's what I think. You don't have that
God,
clip in there? Jesus Christ. I give you these clips.
I know. I forgot that.
I talk about a chick with an ugly face, and I don't even put a bag on your head.
Well, you know, you turned me down, I think.
What?
No. It's up.
Well,
it's up.
It didn't play.
Because you moved it out of the folder it was in, probably.
Well.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when you don't know.
What are you going to do? Anyway.
Those fat fingers can't operate that equipment.
Oh, you bastard. So yeah,
we'll work that out before the break. It's a good drop.
What was the week? What? Yeah,
it was like 2 weeks ago, maybe. 69.
Well,
I think it was 69.
Was it 69?
I gave it to you for 69. I remember that.
See, you know that show had there was so much crazy.
There was so much craziness. If you guys haven't listened back, are we done with Last Comic Standing? By the way, can we move forward and move on?
Yeah,
but I made some notes. Should we talk about Buck Starr came back?
Yeah, let's.
Oh God, for fucking Christ's sakes! There is a rumor. This was on show. I should talk about Shecky, too. Should I talk about Shecky?
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about Shecky. Yeah, this guy, Buck Starr, who was a guy who, in season two, went to every audition, got rejected for everyone, did the same exact shtick this year, and they still used it on the show. Why?
Yeah, why do they keep wasting screen time?
I can understand the guy going to every audition.
Right.
But since they already did that once, why do they need to show us that again?
They do it again.
It just wasn't funny again, and the guy's not funny.
No.
And
he's brutal.
I don't know why they bothered.
He's representative of a certain kind of like heroin head that like is like some.
Yeah, we got a guy in our town that's like that.
I mean, there's always some kind of crazy delusional punk rocker who's, you know, makes his money cooking meth in a bathtub and thinks he's a comedian because he puts on a cowboy hat and some librettes and the, you know, put some stuff through his face, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's always guys who think they're big rock stars and they come in hooting and hollering and screaming, and Buck Starr seems like that. And he went to everyone, and they just put him back on again. The sons of bitches.
Ugh. Anyway.
Who else was on the show? Buck Starr. Jim Wiggins, we talked about him.
So this show, we talk about it because it'll be the talk of comedy.
It'll be the talk of comedy, and we're comics. So there's our statement on it.
And it's highly frustrating to everybody who never gets on that show.
Well, I've never auditioned. So people, don't look at me as like a guy who got rejected for the show and is bitter. And I don't believe you've ever auditioned for it. Have you ever auditioned for
Last Comic Standing? No, because I think you and I know better than to go stand out in the snow for 13 hours.
Right. And here's my problem. I don't want to stand in line with the guy who bags groceries at the supermarket who thinks he's funny.
Right.
Make it where, you know, if you're a guy who's been doing comedy for 2-3 years, you can get on. I mean, I've been doing comedy for six, almost 7 years. But don't make it where I got it. Don't insult me and say, because a lot of those guys like Jimmy Pardo, that's all prearranged anyway. They're not really standing in line.
Sure.
They stand in line for a little bit. They show up at the audition, but they get right in. Right. They don't have to sleep overnight
because
with a sleeping bag in Chicago in the middle of February, whenever the fuck they do that.
Because the line is for the show.
Yeah, the line is for the show. It's for the press. Good. It looks like, oh my God, all these guys want to get on. And I'm sure people that stood in line get in there. But most of those people, like we talked about, Doug Benson, Bill Dwyer, Gabriel Iglesias,
but
Jimmy Pardo, those guys, Chris Newberg, those guys did not stand in line.
No.
And freeze their asses
off. And you know, they had like
else.
One person the audience voted for in each one of the locations. Yeah. Doug Benson got voted in.
Sure.
So the audience wasn't stunt casting.
No, the audience wasn't. Because a lot of what happens on reality, and this is a reality show thing more than this show, is who do we feel sorry for?
Exactly.
Like, that's what the CP guy's there for.
That's all reality
that's
shows are
what
about.
The, you know, that's what that Roz, that big fat black woman, who was like, I was addicted to drugs for 7 years and all that stuff.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, get that off. No one wants to know. It's not a sob. It's not Queen for a
and
day.
And they just play this soft music.
Yeah, and it's just real annoying.
Ooh, my vagina is made
this
out
is my
of
dream
glass.
To do comedy.
Yeah.
And even when I was struck by lightning.
Oh, Lord.
Standing in line for Survivor.
Mm.
My dream was to do that. I don't know where I'm going.
We were so poor, my brother had to eat my kidney to survive. And now I'm here on Last Comic Standing in Tempe, Arizona. And I'm so proud to be here. And it's just like, who cares?
Yeah, no one. We don't want to feel sorry for you. People want to make us laugh. Jesus fucking Christ.
And when it came down to it and the audience had to vote, they voted for Doug Benson, a professional
comic. For generally funny people.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Instead of, you know, I'm a gimp.
Yeah. The guy from Road Rules, that guy's making you laugh.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck
is that? Hilarious. All right, enough of this crap.
But anyway, it's a show we don't like. I mean, it's a show that you watch it because it's comedy and you're supposed to watch it, and you ultimately, you know people that have been on it, so you get involved. Mm-hmm. At least that's my perspective and Corey's perspective. But it's not a great show. People that watch it, although people always ask me, though, when are you going to get on that Last Comic Standing? You would be great on there.
The two things laymen think that you do in comedy are the Second City,
because
you know stand-ups always go and do improv and Last Comic Standing. When are you gonna win? You know, that's your that's your yardstick of success. You know, you could do 10,000 gigs and travel to 50 states and work every week in comedy and until you get on the Second City.
People always say that. They go, I went to my nephew is taking a class at the Second City. He's just like you. He's a comedian.
Yeah, no,
he's not like me.
No, he's playing freeze tag.
He's playing fucking charades for no money. He's paying $300 to a guy to tell him how to play charades.
He and 12
It's not stand-up comedy.
He and 12 other guys called Uncle Shempy's Meat Barn get up there and they sit and go, okay, what's your favorite flavor of sherbet? Waka waka, woo!
Yeah, your nephew is not a comedian. You know, if he's lucky, his finger smells like the hot actress who they threw in that troupe because she's got nice cans.
That's the only reason to do improv.
But that's the only reason to do improv. Yeah. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to make any money. It's all bullshit, okay? You're not going to get on Saturday Night Live. Just stop it. Stop talking to me about that. Don't talk to me about that anymore.
Yeah. Well,
I'm done.
I think it's time to table the Last Comic Standing discussion because
we're going to get lots of people emailing us. There's a thread on our. Oh, we got to do that. But we got to talk about Shecky though, because Shecky.
That's a good point.
Before we, well, we'll
I think
wrap
we
it up
will with, have Chris Newberg in.
We're going to try to get Chris in
sometime this summer,
and maybe I'll even talk to Jimmy Pardo if I can.
If you can,
I talk. But Jimmy, see, I feel like it's like. I feel everybody's calling Jimmy and going, dude, you got fucked, man. That's so bad.
Yeah, how's he going to
do it? So I don't want to email him and go, dude, you must feel like shit. They fucked you over.
You know what we should
do? You know
what?
I don't want to do that. I don't want to have a Jimmy Pardo pity party because the guy's a great comedian. He hardly needs it.
You know what? I think we ought to post a link to his set on our show, which was really good.
Yeah, show 61, the Jimmy Pardo set. Just go to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. It's probably still up on the front page. Mm-hmm. Scroll down or just click on shows.
Why don't we post that It'll on be check? In there. You can be like, here, you can hear Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah, if you
want to
hear Jimmy Pardo kill. Jimmy has his own show, too. I don't know where you get that. JimmyPardo.com, I'm sure. He has his own little podcast.
Oh, his own?
Yeah,
you
want to talk? Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Tell me about that.
Let me do the Shecky thing first real quick. Because Shecky is a thing. It's a blog, stand-up comedy website. And it's generally very inside. Mm-hmm. It's very comic industry. Yeah. But they were talking about who's on. And they hate the show, too. That's why I feel a certain kinship with Shecky.
I think most comics hate your show.
So if I can feel a little kinship here. And this is Brian McKim and Tracy Skeen are the editors of that.
Sure.
And they're working comics. They're touring comics.
That's a good page. I read that a lot.
It is a good page. And in fact, Brian and Tracy, if you hear this, you guys come on when you're in town, because they come through. They play. They played Shooters, I think, recently.
Well, that's not really in town, but
what's on the way?
It's an hour or so north. Yeah.
But I'm sure they've done the Yoder Circuit, Chaplains, or Joey's or something. So anyway, but those guys are good, but they hate the show. Mm-hmm. And they hate the show so much that they say like Jimmy Pardo didn't make the show, but the college dude who said fuck did. I think they were talking about that blonde who got on.
Hot girl they put on.
Yeah, they put a hot chick on and not Jimmy Pardo. Not Larry Reeb, who's hilarious, too, who was on all those HBO specials in the 80s.
But Jim Wiggins they put on, who was on before.
Jim Wiggins didn't make it, actually.
Oh, he didn't make the cut?
No, he didn't make the cut this time. He was in there before. But anyway, they also talk about who made it on. Do you want a list of guys that may be in the house? Should I read this to you?
Possible spoilers.
Now, this was not told to us by anybody. Like, Newberg has his confidentially. This was on Shecky, and I don't know
Chris
who
was talking all about the show, and then suddenly was like, oh, I can't talk
about Chris
it.
Sort of was like, I went to the audition. It went well, blah, blah, blah. I think I'm moving forward. And then went like, oh, I can't talk about anything. It's all
they made him sign something.
An NDA or whatever it was. So anyway, here's who they say is on. Bill Dwyer, they say, gets in, who we talked about. Gabriel Iglesias. Chris Porter was that weird guy from Tempe with the crazy shirt. I think he audience like Ty Barnett, who I believe was on Star Search. Was Ty Barnett on that?
Arsenio
Star Search, I think he was. Joey Gay, the guy from New York.
Yeah.
A lot of teeth on that guy.
Huge.
What's with that guy's teeth?
Massive teeth.
He's a very weird looking guy. He's got a lot of teeth.
He looks like a face full of Pez. I don't know what it
he's
is.
He's kind of a funny guy, but he's a lot of teeth. Josh Blue, the CP guy.
Really?
They threw him right on.
Surprised.
Like anyone's going to feel sorry. Like, anyone's going to want to vote him out.
Sure.
You know, like, it's like the guy on Big Brother that won with the one leg the first season.
What about the housewife with the desiccated, dried-out vagina? Is she on there?
Well, I don't know. Stella Stolper? I don't know who that was. Was that the pregnant Italian
pregnant
girl? Was that who that was?
Yeah.
Roz, the big, fat black woman who was
really?
A
what a surprise.
Michelle Balan. I think that was the old broad that you hated.
That's what I'm talking about. The old desiccated vagina.
Rebecca Corey, April Macy, and Kristen Kay.
Okay, so the hot redhead.
Kristen, and then Kristen Kay was that blonde who was, I don't know what she talked about. She looked.
What
like
about
Mr. Burns
that terrifying butch lesbian? Did she make it on?
No, I forget what her name was, but she was horrible. And
Tig something.
Tig.
What kind of name is Tig? Is it short for Tigger?
No, Tig is, Tig is, I think it's some like Russian.
It's a Ukrainian word for carpet muncher?
Yeah, it's hates penis. Yeah. You beat me to it, but yeah.
Tig.
I was fighting. I'm glad we could tag team on that joke because.
Thank you. I liked your punchline.
Anyway, those are the people that got on. See, that's why.
Oh, my God.
We're doing this live, folks. But anyway, Curtis. Shecky said, and they also said, you know, they have the Capital One. Oh, this is really funny. They wrote this on Shecky. They have the Capital One audience favorite thing, and they got like, they're like, instead of giving him a $1,000 credit card, why don't they just relieve the $1,000 of debt they've already racked up with Capital One? Because if you're a comic, you're probably in the red, as I am.
No doubt running your cards.
And there's a bunch of really, there's a really good long post on Shecky. It's funny, man. You got to read
that. It's a good website. Go check that out.
Yeah, go to Shecky. I believe it's SheckyMagazine.com.
Mm-hmm.
Brian McKim and Tracy.
And another site that we wholeheartedly agree with is Cringe Humor.
Oh, I don't know if I wholeheartedly on everything, but on the show I do, yeah.
On a lot of things.
I don't agree with Cringe Humor on everything, but I agree with him on
There's many things that I think we share philosophy with.
I do believe if you're a fan of Cringe Humor or the Cringe Humor website, you would probably enjoy this show because...
Yeah.
We just called that fan a gook and said he was bringing Chinese to the house.
Right.
If that doesn't win you fans from Cringe Humor, I don't know what
That's
does.
That's true.
But anyway, go to Shecky Magazine. They got a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff in our forum, too. We talked about it on Orange Joe Radio Forum.
I told my dad it was safe to watch Last Comic Standing because he wasn't on it. Because my dad sees Charlie when he sees Dad Fan on it.
His dad is a Vietnam vet. Did he really watch Dad Fan? It'd be funnier if it was real.
I know.
When you're making up shtick, it's not funny.
My
dad
won't eat Chinese food, though.
Are you serious? Your dad won't eat Chinese food?
It's a struggle every time.
He'll I don't eat Middle Eastern food, and that's partly...
Yeah.
There is some philosophy to that. There is some, you know,
pro-American
thing to that.
No, I think it was just because they were over there, and they thought, you know, like, that's the enemy's food.
Sure.
I don't know.
No one was craving an egg roll when there were bullets flying over their head. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Well, you know, and that's true. You know, I've always said that to my girlfriend. She's a big, she wants shish kebabs and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, those guys, this goes to the Taliban. You don't want to get that. And, of course, the guy that runs the big Middle Eastern chain in Detroit, the Lashish guy, did you hear about that?
Supposedly he has Hezbollah.
He has got Hezbollah ties. Yeah. He was funneling money to Hezbollah and Lebanon from his all the goddamn shish kebabs. Fat white people were eating in the suburbs in Detroit were going to support Hezbollah. Now we need Debbie Schlissel back on the show.
I saw Debbie at the breakup.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was she?
You know.
Annoying as ever.
Didn't really get to talk to her.
All right. Anyway. CoreyandJoelRadio.com is the website, of course. You can email us. Email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. The guy emailed us and said time about reality shows that Big Brother's on for 20 hours. In Australia.
Good God.
And they only have 3 channels, and 20 hours of it a week is Big Brother. So that's going to start soon. We'll have plenty of that.
Really?
Let's take a break here. We're going to do more. It's hot as hell. We got to turn the AC on for one thing in here. And this is called Summer. This is more Granddaddy. This is Summer Here Kids, which is appropriate because it's hot as hell here. Yeah, it's completely on, brother. What's going on? You don't have it? All right.
Well.
Until Corey gets it. Ready? Here we go.
How is it not in here?
I don't know. You queued stuff up, and now you don't have it.
Played.
Your song played, and now it didn't. Look at you. You suck.
I'm falling back.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. We'll get up Summer Here, Kids.
Well, how did that not play? The first
I don't know, but we're going to figure it out. We'll take a break. We'll edit this together, whatever, and then on with more show after this. All right? Good.
Summer here, kids. Let's go.
right. It was Granddaddy there with you. It was summer here, kids. It's summer in Detroit. I'll tell you, it's hot here, man.
We're back.
From Under the Western Freeway. Oh. Good album. If you like that, it's a good tune. Dude, you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that Granddaddy song?
Nice song, yeah.
Nice little indie pop song. Good. Oh. Jason Little, talk to that guy.
It is hot.
Hung out with him. Good guy.
Yeah.
It is hot. But we're in our air-conditioned studios here in Ferndale, Michigan.
Yeehaw!
Yeehoo! All right, brother. So what else
you
is going
on? You see they're building the pigeon crow nest or whatever?
They're
you
building
see that?
What's called a crow's nest here in my town at the corner of 9 Mile and Woodward. Yeah. And that's the way that police used to direct traffic before traffic lights. There would be a guy up on a up like 20 feet in the air, and they're building that this week over there. I have to go check that out.
It's a replica of the actual crow's nest, but they can't put like stoplights on it or something because they're going to confuse people.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. It's just going to be there. I don't know if anyone's even going to go up
there. It's going to be pointless. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they're keeping the ladder up so that like drunks can't get into it.
Yeah.
I think like that'd be a big sport here. Would be like drunks getting in the crow's nest, you know? Woo, I'm peeing in the crow's nest.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of that in this town. There's a lot of bars in my town, which is not a bad thing.
Now there's all these condo developments they're working on.
Oh, yeah.
But like they can't get them right.
What do you mean they can't get the condos right? Because
I was just reading. They can't, like, the guys, they're almost going to blow this deal on the other one they're working on.
Well, the Troy Street development is still in, but that one block of Woodward on the west side is getting, you can buy those right now.
Yeah.
I don't know when they're breaking ground on
they're knocking it all down.
I don't know if I'm for big new high-rise condos. Are you or are you not?
It's cool enough. I mean, like, look, they're, like, up the street in Royal Oak, there's all this big, huge, these big mega developments they're building. And you go, who's buying this? Because the economy's poop in this city.
It's bad, and these things are $200,000, $300,000 at least to start.
So there's they build these upper, you know, they build these yuppie traps to try and entice younger people to come in. And
yeah,
like,
and these are strictly for younger people. You can't raise a family in these. They're one
but you
bedroom,
know what you get?
Maybe two bedroom.
You get old people because
you get old retirees who sell their houses.
People our age don't really have $375 to drop on a condo.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just bought a house which was way less than that.
Right.
And it's a nice house. I mean, I got a yard. I got a nice.
So,
I got a whole thing.
It's not
a shiny new condo, but it's got lots of things that a condo doesn't have.
Right.
Like a lawn and a hot tub and, you know.
Sure. And I wouldn't mind living in a condo if I had the money, but I don't have $375,000.
It seems like a poor investment.
I barely have $375 for rent.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Like if you buy a house, you know that the house is going to go up in value. But a high-rise condo, I don't know. I think it's a gamble.
And this happens in cities all over America.
Yeah, I don't know what's
Chicago's
going on.
Like just maggoty with that stuff. It's just all over.
Well,
who knows?
I'm not a big fan of that in Detroit.
But they went and dropped this big, IKEA Borg cube right in the middle of downtown, fill it up with yuppies, and it's like, well, why do that?
Yeah.
Anyway. Meanwhile, downtown Detroit, they're building all these old lofts and.
Oh, don't even.
Who's moving in?
That's too long of it. We don't have enough time left on this show to discuss the bullshit that's going on in downtown Detroit.
Lots of it.
There's not enough time to talk about bullshit
in
Detroit.
That casino's going up fast, though.
They're building the permanent casino.
Oh, it's going up like lightning. You got to take a look.
I'll be down there next week. My buddy's getting married on Belle Isle next week, so I'll be.
Oh
downtown.
Yeah, it's over by Tiger Stadium. It's huge.
I'll see what's going on.
It's a massive complex. Okay. Anyway,
woo! What else?
That's really for insiders who live in this city.
If you live in the city and you want to know what's going on in our city, in Ferndale, in Royal Oak, in Detroit,
we'll have a real estate Perth section coming up. Send in your real estate updates from wherever you are.
Because I'm sure there's a guy, I'm sure Cam in Yellowknife will tell us that you can buy a mansion for, $63,000 Canadian dollars.
Somebody built an igloo in Yellowknife, and they're charging $12 for it.
I'm sure in Frankfurt, buy a castle, according to Niels. But in Michigan, that's the way it is.
That's the original home of crystal and glass yuppie traps is Berlin and Germany, Frankfurt,
Well, Niels. Maybe we'll get pictures of Niels' apartment. Would you like to see that?
That'd be great. Detroit invented techno, and yet we've reaped hardly any of their rewards.
Wait, the big techno fest. Did you see any of that this week? I saw zero.
They started
started
charging for it. Stop going.
It's $15.
Yeah.
You know why it's $15, though? People say, well, they're having problems, but it's because, like, LaWanda and her six kids can't just go wander around it for free.
You think they're trying to keep out the riffraff?
They're keeping out the riffraff with that. That's why they charge $15. They have a big techno fest down at the river in this park in Detroit every year, Memorial Day weekend. And I'll be honest, techno music isn't very good. Some of it I can get into, some of it I can't. But generally, it's pretty bad, and this year was no exception, so I gladly skipped the techno fest this year. Gone to it in the past. A lot of hot chicks running around.
Yeah.
Although it was... That's the techno
music right there.
Techno music.
Oh, and, you know, not to brag and name drop, which I do all the time, but like the big stars and headliners, Richie Haughton and Magda.
Yeah.
People I used to know that hung out and like, my friend used to run this club Motor.
Yeah.
And it was a big techno club, and I used to go there all the time and watch people doing coke. Had no idea this was anybody cared.
I don't know that anybody cares. Apparently enough people care that they're big stars.
People come over from Europe and stuff. And
people,
like,
does that make it right?
No.
You know?
But the festival used to be huge when it was free. You know, they're like, didn't they have like close to 1 million people or something?
When it was free, they'd have like 1 million people. And
now they're getting like 30,000.
Christina, who's been on our show before and is a big fan of the techno music.
Yeah.
She went down there and she was telling me that like it was fine. It was like a lot of people and... She went down Saturday. She had a good time. I don't know.
They're getting a fraction of the people that used to.
But it's a fraction of who used to be down there. But that's good for crowd control. They don't need all that bullshit down there. Let the techno people enjoy their music. Let them pay to hear it.
I guess. You know? But they don't charge for the hoedown.
They don't charge for the hoedown.
That's the funniest thing ever. Yeah. Is when right in the middle of downtown Detroit, like, all these rednecks show up.
Yeah. They have the Motown hoedown, and it's all country acts in the middle of Detroit, and, you know, I don't know what that is. Somebody decided that was a good idea, but that does well,
it's just,
right?
It's just like,
yeah,
like this.
Pee-wee!
Yeehaw, we going down to Detroit?
We're in the big city.
It's that versus this.
Shake that ass, bitch!
Oh, when
and
they
let
have
me
this,
see what you got. Yeah. Just shake that ass, bitch! And let me see what you
they
got.
Have the African American festival. They have the African.
That's a guy's playing trumpet.
Ethnic festival, but there's a lot of hip hop. I mean, that's just the cars. That's just the cars driving.
That's just Belle
there.
Isle.
Yeah. Oh. My buddy's getting married on Belle Isle, which is sort of like where, it's sort of like, how would you describe that? It's almost like the beach for black people. It's where like everybody goes and cruises.
It really is.
And, you know, they don't need a beach because they're not swimming anyway. But so Belle Isle's like,
no,
but it is. And everybody has picnics. It's like my room. I was talking to Stephanie. She was over there. This because
Belle Isle was originally like the Central Park of Detroit.
Yeah. But she says it looked like the Will Smith summertime video when she went out there. She said it was all black people singing and dancing, having their picnics. And she was going to a wedding, and I'm going to a wedding there. My buddy
their
Greg's
guy's
getting
selling
married.
Airbrushed denim jackets.
There's a lot of that, and pictures in front of a backdrop of Tupac.
You can get your hair did.
Get your braids done down there.
Backdrop of Tupac.
Yeah, me and my buddies got a picture down. We were at the Hamtramck Festival 1 year, and they can get your picture taken in front of an airbrush drawing of Tupac. It was great. I got that done.
They got a guy selling grills out of a stand. And another great thing about Detroit in the summertime, any city festival you go to, like, doesn't matter. If you go to the Polish American, if you go to the Hamtramck Festival, the Polish Festival, there's always, like, a booth of a guy selling, like, African jewelry.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you can buy a spear and a fertility goddess. And
it's always a carved guy made out of wood and incense for sale at any of these things you go to. Doesn't matter which one it is.
Guy selling Fred Sanford T-shirts.
You're wearing one right now.
I'm wearing one right now. And... like shea butter. Do you know what that stuff is?
It's
like,
shea butter?
Shea butter is this like, it's like this root or something. It's like this African root, and it's supposed to be like skin cream.
Oh, so it's like a moisturizing
cream? Yeah, and there's always some big tub of shea butter in every outdoor festival next to the guy selling the Mandingo supplies. It's always funny. You're like,
yeah, summer
get
festivals.
Your Italian sausage and your nose necklace. You know,
yeah, it's always very weird. There's always incense, beads, blankets for some reason always sell at those things.
Right.
There's
like
always
Afghans.
Afghans.
Yeah.
And then there's like the table of $10 sunglasses.
Right.
If you want some $10 sunglasses. Right. No matter what you go to, everyone's got one in their town.
Yeah.
There's always a guy selling $10 sunglasses.
It's spectacular.
It's very strange.
Even in like the Cinco de Mayo festival.
Yeah, they'll always have those.
Yeah.
Because no matter what ethnicity you are...
In Detroit, you get
you're
shea
wearing
butter.
Bad sunglasses and shea butter. That's what it is. You went to sort of a... You went to that Comic-Con. They don't... Do they sell cheap sunglasses?
Gosh, they don't. But they sell all kinds of other crap. Yeah, Russ Brown, who was on the show recently, show 67, maybe?
One of the 67, I think, was...
Our buddy Russ and I went, and we took his little boy.
to the Comic-Con. Now, which would largely be comic book related stuff, but now Comic-Con has become like sci-fi,
yeah,
and you know, like what else would it be? Computer stuff, even a little bit, right?
Well, what
anime, all that stuff.
It becomes
sort
like
of
this general pop culture tournament,
right?
Kind of thing. Well,
and then you have old TV stars and sort of that hang out there.
Yeah. Here's the stuff you'll see at the Comic-Con. This is, I guarantee you'll see this. Okay, at every Comic-Con you go to, you're gonna see. There's gonna be one table selling this weird Japanese anime where like demons with 12 tentacles rape schoolgirls.
Yeah.
There's always like that guy selling that. There's like a guy selling like monster movie like posters and stuff. Then you got like attention starved drama club girls like in push up bustiers who think they're elves, you know, running around like Renaissance.
There's Lord of the Rings.
There's always like
there,
Renaissance festival people that don't like have any other outlet for their time.
Wow.
I saw about 12 Jedis.
Star Wars fans always there.
Yeah, there's there's the 501 Stormtrooper Brigade that like I did a benefit show with once, and Mike Bobbitt. Who we ever had Mike on the show? No,
the guys who dress up as stormtroopers.
Yeah,
they have really like a self-made stormtrooper costumes.
And there's
really
like
nice.
A million of these guys, and they build these like authentic looking stormtrooper. Uh-huh. There was a girl stormtrooper who had the chest piece with breasts on it.
Oh Jesus,
which
Christ.
Was ridiculous.
And isn't there always like a table of Lucha Libre masks?
You know, I didn't
always,
see that this
there's
year.
There's no Lucha Libre this year.
What? Not this year. That's usually there.
There's always a guy with Lucha Libre.
Because I bought some. Yeah. And whatever.
But and then it's like Magic the Gathering. Is that there too?
Yeah,
there
there's some of
that?
That. Not as much as there used to be.
D&D, a little bit of Dungeons and Dragons there too, maybe?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit of Dungeons and Dragons, a little bit of Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek people there probably.
Yeah. A lot of guys selling toys and stuff.
And there are horror people there too. Isn't there horror and Freddy Krueger?
They kind of have their own conventions, but there's always a little overlap.
There's always a little bit. Yeah, but there's always a few people.
But then there's like the dealer area. That's the dealer area. And then there's like the celebrity area.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the blonde chick from Too Close for Comfort is sitting there. And Russ was really funny. He was like, oh, my God, she's here. You know, he was like, he told his son, who's like five. He's like,
you brought a five-year-old kid to this.
Now, this is the lady that if you'd asked daddy when he was 12, she would have been your mommy. You know, it was like Russ was all excited that the blonde from Too Close for Comfort was there, who didn't look too bad.
She looked okay.
Charlene Tilton looked like 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag.
Really? Charlene Tilton, not
Dallas.
Good anymore.
Oh, brutal.
It was a long time ago. I mean, it was 24 years ago that show was on.
This time there was a Batman theme. It was like Batman 40th anniversary or some crap. And so Adam West, Burt Ward, Julie Newmar, and Yvonne Craig were all there, which was kind of crazy. It was like the whole Batman cast.
Wow.
And there were guys walking around dressed up as Batman. They weren't like hired. They just showed up.
Yeah.
Like there was guys.
Well, did I tell you Scooters ran into one of those guys at the comedy club?
Yeah, they came.
I think
to
we talked about
club.
This last week a little bit about the guys dressed.
The guy
up
dressed up as the bookworm. I said, like, "Come on, that's the lamest excuse."
And
for
it's all, but these are Batman things from that '60s TV show.
Yeah.
Not the comic book Batman people, although they might have been in the comic book.
They're the show, yeah.
The show.
I think,
they were all
I think
the
they just came because all the stars from the show were there.
Right, yeah.
But there was like Tony Dow from Leave It to Beaver was there.
Oh, I like to Wally.
Yeah.
Hey, Wally.
Yeah, just about 70 sitting there going, oh, God. What's wrong with me? What's happened to my life?
How old would he be? Let's see. He was 15 in 1961 when that show was on.
65 or so, you know?
Yeah, if he was 15 then in 61, he would be 40.
Well,
he'd be almost 60 years old, 60.
Late 50s, 60, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Looked every minute of it. Talked to John Saxon. I had a little chat with him.
John Saxon is a guy that was, what movies? He was in a lot of, he was in like Bruce Lee movies.
Maybe The Nightmare on Elm Street. You might remember him. He was the sheriff.
Okay.
The dad of Heather Langenkamp.
Wasn't he most famous for like fighting Bruce Lee in some movie?
He was in Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
He was like Bruce Lee's white sidekick.
Okay.
And he's been a million shows and movies. And
okay.
Good guy. But I had a talk with him. He's like, oh, how are you? Nice to see you. I'm John Saxon. He's a very nice man. But Comic-Con's amazing. And what Russ was pulling, like Russ was like all geeked out. He'd never been to a Comic-Con before.
I remember Russ,
I'm a veteran. I've been to many.
If you didn't listen to the Rusher, Russ is the guy who also pulls off Ponzi schemes and other various money-making things that seem illegal.
Well, Russ has always got something cooking.
He's got some scam or another going.
Yeah. And Russ, you know, he's like the Fred Flintstone. He's always got a get-rich-quick scheme.
He's the guy from the Hunt. He's Ed Norton from the Hunt Raiders. He's always getting rich
Ralph
with one
Cramden,
thing or another. Ralph Cramden,
Yeah, and that's which the Flintstones is a knockoff of.
But anyway, yeah, that's funny that we both made. All right, go ahead.
Oh, but that's what. So Russ brings his little boy. First of all, we went and had lunch at Hooters. That was the first thing we did.
No, but that's wrong. I mean, is that wrong for a little kid or not?
I don't know, but
I think it's wrong. I would not bring it. I don't go to Hooters for one.
Right.
Like, you and I would never go to Hooters.
Well, it was nearby the convention.
Okay, yeah.
So we were like, I was like, there's a bunch of like TGI Fridays and crap around here. And he goes, let's go to Hooters.
All right.
So I said, you know, Russ loves him some Hooters. So we went to Hooters and there's like all these chicks in these, you know, chachi skirt. Oh, there's, you know,
the little orange. The little everyone knows what the Hooters thing is.
The shorts that are climbing up into their uterus.
It's little orange shorts, right. And a white t-shirt that's cut off.
And we got a 5-year-old there. And
yeah, that's wrong.
And they're all coming by and rubbing his head. And isn't he just cute and adorable? And, you know, and Russ is like, yeah, teach the boy right.
That's wrong.
And then when we got to the Comic-Con, like, one, Rush and I were just crying, laughing at like all these freaks and Jedis and weird guys that were walking around. This one guy had like a Vulcan Star Trek bear that was like a teddy bear that he was cuddling like it was Spock. It was just freaky people that were there. But then he goes, he sees that there's like porn actresses. There's like a little, you know, there's like some Playboy Playmates and stuff like Kimberly Clark. Okay, I can't remember. But there were like all these Playboy girls and like Sika was there, who was like one of the oldest porn stars.
But Sika's like Asian or something, isn't she?
Yeah, she's European.
European, yeah, there's something, yeah, I don't know what
but
Sika is.
Like Sika is, you know, in her 60s now at this point, and her, you know, she's wearing this low-cut top and her skin looks like a tannery.
Yeah, she was like big in porno, like when porno was at, like when it would actually be projected on a screen.
When it was in film.
Yeah, when it was in film. Like the video, she was at the very beginning of like the VCR porn movement.
Did a lot of work with John Holmes. She was an original old schooler. Yeah, so Sika's there. And Russ is like, well, a legend's here. Sika's here.
Oh.
So he's running over trying to get his son into the shots.
Oh, my God.
And like, but like the porn chicks wanted to charge you $25 for an autograph.
Even if it was a 5-year-old kid.
So we'd be like, we'd be like sending his son over like, okay, see that lady? Go stand next to her and like try and get a picture. But he was kind of like, because he's 5, you know, girls kind of, you know.
Intimidate him, yeah.
Didn't really want to like do it. But Russ was all about getting a picture with the porno girls.
Oh.
There was one girl running around in the Princess Leia the slave girl outfit.
Yeah, from
and Russ was dying to get a shot of her, yeah. And then literally there was a guy I went to high school with dressed as Luke Skywalker.
Now, will those guys take a picture with you or do they want money?
No.
If you're not a porn star, you can take a free picture.
Right.
The guy dressed up as Gandalf from Lord of the Rings will take a picture with you.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a porn star costs money.
Right.
What about Tony Dow? Does it cost money to take a picture with Tony Dow?
Yeah, probably less than it costs for somebody else.
Okay.
There's like a sliding scale. Is there really? You try and figure out who's...
Charlene Tilton or Tony Dow? Who gets more money?
Yeah, I think John Saxon will run you about $7 to get an autograph for him, but like Adam West is going to charge you $25. You know? And you're like, you look at it and you go... Technically, John Saxon's a bigger star. But in terms of the comic book community, Adam West is bigger.
Yeah, I guess.
If you looked at their careers back to back...
John Saxon had been in more successful stuff, but yet Adam West was the star of something that was, you know...
I'm just saying, if you...
His one thing was bigger than the 10 things John Saxon did.
John Saxon's always been working. He was in a great $6 Million Man episode where he was a Maskatron. He was like the evil robot. Anyway, so dorky. Those things
are unbelievable. Well, I wasn't there. I think I was on the road that weekend.
Yeah, you could like get.
You were like, "Hey, Joel, let's go to Comic-Con." I'm like, "I'm working."
Well, it's pretty funny. You can get like those. Last year, I went and I talked. I interviewed people.
Yeah,
we never used it on the show.
We never used it on the show. But you know, I've worked that out, by the way, with a microphone. I got to show you that.
Yeah,
I've worked it out with a microphone in the iRiver to do interviews. So,
we could have totally done that.
Well, we're gonna have to do that. Oh, you know what's coming up Sunday? We're gonna get interviews. You know what it is?
What?
It's Pride Fest in my town. So we'll go down. We'll write some questions for gay people, and we'll go down. And we'll interview people at Pride Fest.
That's faggot stuff.
I know, but...
You want to call it by its name, that's strictly for fags.
Thank you, Rob. Wow. But no, you can. We'll go to Pride Fest and interview people. Is that I'll go anywhere. Yeah. Even if you're not there, I'll gladly go to Pride Fest and ask
All I know is Comic-Con makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, when you see people dressed up as, you know, imaginary characters, you tend to...
When you see a guy who spent, like, all week... making his Green Goblin costume perfect. You start to go, you know, maybe, I mean, I read the stuff, but it's not that bad.
Right. A guy skipped 2 days of work to build his Boba Fett outfit, and he's there, and you feel better.
You know, I'm excited I got a deal on this Thor action figure, but at least I didn't build a costume.
Yeah. We have a crummy podcast, but at least we're not
No.
Dressing up as things.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe we'll be, like, lame enough to be, like, the Corey. Oh, look, it's Corey and Joel at the Comic-Con.
But you know what really scares me is the girls who dress up at these things.
Well.
Like, last year I saw about three couples that were, like, Ghostbusters. They were in Ghostbusters. Because Ernie Hudson was there. I think they were doing a tribute during. But I'm like, what girl dresses up like a Ghostbuster?
Are the chicks, like, hot at all? Or
Sort of.
Like, the chick that was Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi. Was she hot?
She looked pretty good, yeah.
She looked good?
Yeah.
Now, do you think she's a chick who's like can get guys regularly, or
why she can get the guy I went to high school with in the Luke Skywalker
right?
Costume.
But I mean, do you think she's only hot to guys at Star Wars conventions?
Yes,
do you think she's a chick who's hot walking around.
She'd be average to the guy on the street.
Yeah.
To a comic book guy,
yeah,
a goddess.
Okay,
but there's I'm telling you, there were like all these like 15-year-old girls in these anime costumes that like I don't even recognize.
Well, they're cosplaying and all that stuff.
Yeah.
People dress up as the Katamari Damacy guys. Is that? Did you see any
There were
of that?
A couple video game characters.
Yeah,
but not,
there's always
not
a Mario them. And a Princess Peach.
Yeah, there were like Soul Calibur characters
a Link.
And stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see Mario, but...
You didn't see a Mario?
But there's all, you know, there's all... They're dressed up as some crap I don't know what that is, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or some shit, and I don't know what they
are. Yeah, it's always Dragon Ball Z and those things, and
some,
you have no idea what
some
it is. Even the Final Fantasy, I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, some anime show that's on Cartoon Network that I don't watch, and there's like these, but I see these 14-year-old girls walking around in this, and I go, if I was 14 and I saw a girl in an anime outfit, I'd probably shit my pants.
Yeah.
And now it's all over the place.
When we were 14, there weren't girls dressing up as anything and being 14.
But none of these people are getting closer to getting laid. You know, like,
really?
It's really sad. You see all these, like, girls that are really into this, like, you know, Sailor Moon and crap, and
where
there's no guys there that'd bang them.
Really?
I mean, the guys are so afraid. They're,
well, that's too bad for the guys.
They're playing duck and cover. They're
what if you're a guy? Can a guy sweep in and just bang any of these chicks, or is it like?
I think if you got,
do they really want a guy in Luke Skywalker outfit?
I don't know,
because maybe you're just a regular dude,
right?
And you want to bang Princess Leia, but Princess Leia doesn't want to fuck you because she's waiting for the guy dressed up as Han Solo. But the guy who's dressed up as Han Solo was too much of a dork to ask Princess Leia to fuck her. Maybe that's how nobody gets laid. Is that how it works?
It's confusing. I've been trying to figure it out. But there was one girl that I know. And I asked her if she was going to the Comic-Con. She's like, no, I haven't been reading comics in a long time. She used to work at a comic book store.
Okay.
But she's a cute chick. And she was there.
Oh, well, there
I planted
go.
The seed, and she showed up.
Oh,
so we hung
well,
out
there
for
you
a little
go.
Bit.
Wow,
so
that's good.
That's what I'm working on. Dream girls. Comic book dream girls. Anyway. You know what you don't find? Personal ads. You know what you don't find in...
Well, you got 5 minutes to do personal ads.
So I was at the bar last night, and a friend of mine had recently gotten dumped, and she was a little sad, so I was reading the personal ads to try and cheer her up, because those people are really pathetic. And I came across one. It said, sweeter than chocolate.
Okay.
And it was like, single black female, something, with a 16-year-old boy. Yeah. 28. Yeah, do the math on that one.
Well, but do you think she's, like, lying? Because people shave their ages and that. Do you think she shaved it, and now she looks like a hoe because she had a baby when
well,
she was 12?
If she, yeah, she
you
was
I mean?
12.
Like, if I was going to put my age in something now, I would probably say I'm 27 or 28 or something, even though I'm
okay,
not.
Okay, but if you're shaving your age down, does that make you better because you were you had a baby at 12?
She should have shaved the age of her kid.
You might have been inseminated at 11? I don't even know
she's
if that's
feasible.
She's
looking for a woman or a man, though?
Looking for a man.
Oh. But why were you reading that to your female friend?
Because I just ended up reading the goofy stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I read her the mails, and she was embarrassed and shamed about them. But, and we were trying to do a little, you know, math, a little. Because you read these entries for girls, and it's like pleasant, you know, it's like full figured.
Yeah, pleasantly plump.
Round goddess.
Yeah.
And I was doing a little translation.
BBW.
Right.
A big, beautiful woman.
That's a good one. Yeah, and it'd be like S, you know, SWM, or single.
See, SWF.
SWF.
Yeah.
SWF, pleasantly round or something. And I break it down, I go, so let's see, that means you eat sticks of butter. Right. That's what it means.
Okay, you have to be WPTH. You know what that is?
What?
Weight proportional to height. I swear, that's in there. WPTH,
really?
Weight proportional to height.
Yeah, proportionate, not enough. That's another code word.
So what do you weigh? Oh, you're 220? Right. Yeah, are you 7'3"? Because that would be the proportion I'm looking for.
Yeah. Curvy. Also means that you're at half off rib night.
Okay, yeah. Here's the other. generous means I want you to give me money for fucking you. That's what that means in those. You see chicks who want a generous guy.
I want
guy.
A generous guy.
You know what's great for that? Craigslist. If you ever go on Craigslist.org, they have a Craigslist in every big town. Go on that and look up your town. And there's always... I swear to God.
And our gay friend was telling me that Craigslist is where the real freaky stuff is.
Right. Craigslist, if you're a single woman and you need some money... You can clean a guy's house. That's how they do it now.
Really?
I know a chick who did this.
Clean a guy's house.
No, literally. No, you go over and you clean a guy's house.
Really?
And they give you money. Now, a lot
of times,
man,
I sucks your dick real good, brother.
But a lot of times they'll ask you to wear a certain outfit to clean the guy's house. Like, I know a chick, and she's like, well, I'm cleaning this guy's house, and he's giving me money every week. She ended up banging a guy for money. But she was cleaning the guy's house. And
right.
She literally answered an ad to clean a guy's house. She went over there. She ended up fucking the guy.
Naked nude maids or something?
Yeah, it's not naked maid. It's just I'm going to clean a guy's house. But once he's got you over there, he'll be like, okay, I'll clean my house for $50. I go, well, if you put on this nightie, I'll give you $100. Then the chicks put on the nightie. And then, you know, and then once they put on the nightie, then it's become like, well, why don't you just blow me and make another $100? The chicks need money, and so next thing you know, they do.
And that is the economy at work.
That's
in America.
The world we live in. Thank you, George W. Bush.
Oh, so any woman placing a seeking man, right? That's either she's had a kid at 12.
Women that seeking men are fat chicks,
right?
Old bags,
right?
Or whores,
right?
Money grubbing whores.
Now
that's what it is.
Well, there you go. I think we decoded the whole. I think we've decoded that section.
So we've wrapped that all up.
We could read a bunch of them sometime.
Anyway. And I could talk about my friend who met a chick online. I'm not going to do that now.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about it later. Anyway,
there's more topics.
We got to wrap up the show. This one went quick. We did all the Last Comic Standing stuff, and let's just plug a few things. If you enjoyed the show, send us some email. We'll read your email on the show, email at poorangeloradio.com.
Sure.
Discuss the show in the forum. There's going to be a lot of Last Comic Standing discussion. There's already a thread up for that, but I'm sure in the discussion thread for this show, there'll be more Last Comic Standing talks. So if you watch that, leave your thoughts at the Corey and Joel Radio Forum.
Go to podcastalley.com and vote for us.
Yeah, you can do a little vote on Podcast Alley.
We're going to start a new month here.
Yeah, Jimmy Pardo, if you watch the show, go to his website. Listen to our show 61 with Jimmy. He was a fucking riot. He did about 20 minutes of stand-up.
Yeah.
Sat down with us, made fun of us, hilarious.
And you can
shit.
Go to, is it jchrisneuberg.com? Or?
jchrisneuberg.com. It's the letter J, Chris Newberg, all one word, .com. And
check
that's
out
his
Chris.
Website. Check out
good
Chris.
Friend of ours.
I'm going to be at the Jackson Comedy Club in Jackson, Michigan this coming up Saturday.
They have a comedy club in Jackson, folks.
They
it's
certainly
true.
Do. It's June 3rd in Jackson, Michigan. I think it's one show at 9 o'clock. So come out and say hi to me there in Jackson, Michigan.
Ooh,
this weekend.
Summer comedy.
Yeah, summer comedy stuff, but you got to do what you got to do. So play some more Granddaddy. We'll get out of here. Sign up for the mailing list, too. Are we going to get a new Your Podcast Sucks up this week or no?
We'll have some kind of bonus feature up this week.
Well, I think so. If not, next week we got another new Your Podcast Sucks. The one we did last week, Concert Blast, was great.
Yeah.
You'll get that on the mailing
list. And we're going to kill some of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So get on the mailing list. Thanks for listening to Show 71. And we'll see you next
time.
I'm
going to go put on my Hawkman costume and troll for tail.
Where's Princess Leia? I'm horny.
Woohoo!
Let's get out of here.